Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come before you again to ask you to do once more in us what you've done before. We come asking you, not with our heads bowed down, not in fear, but we come in confidence with our eyes on you, asking that you would do in us again what you've done before. Would you again lift us? Would you again strengthen us? Would you do as David asked of you to do for us, what you did for him, and simply give us back our joy? Give us again the fellowship. Give us again the peace. Let your voice cascade down upon us, filling us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Father, again, would you leave nothing to chance, but make us whole. Bring sight where there is blindness. Restore hearing to the deaf. Oh God, take these weak and feeble limbs and give us again our strength, that we might run and run and never get tired. For Isaiah has encouraged us to know that they that wait upon the Lord shall. And God, all of us are in the different areas and categories of our shall. But you know what our shall requires, and you know just how to do it. And so, God, we just simply say, thy will be done among this people. And bring us together on one accord, that we might be as one. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy. This is our prayer. This is our peace. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's praise God together. Come on, everybody. Come on, lift up a praise unto the Lord. He's worthy of every praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Again, you ought to know where we are. We're at the third level of the series in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. I'm not going to take up a whole lot of your time with it, but we've been there 2 weeks, and we want to keep working our way through, because this is our time of possibility. Again, he simply says to them, I'm coming to visit you. At verse 5, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. I know this. Some of you, this is your first installment. For some of us, this is our third installment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, New Living Translation, at verse 5, he said, I'm coming to visit you. After I've been to Macedonia, for I am planning to travel through Macedonia, it could be that I will stay a while with you, perhaps all winter, and then you can send me on my way to the next destination. This time, I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I will be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. For there is a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding, but there are many who oppose me. Again, I want to talk to you about dealing with possibilities in problematic places. God bless you. You may be seated. There is a course of instruction that Jesus engages upon when he is holding audience with a few of those who have expressed to him some desire or some interest in ministry. And Jesus says something to them, Lewis, that I probably would not have thought to say, because oftentimes whenever people are interested in something we're doing, we get excited just to have somebody who wants to do what we're doing. But what he says, Lewis, is that before you come with me, before you engage, before you sign your name, you ought to count the cost. And Jesus gives him an illustration or two about what counting the cost would entail. But he says to them, in summary, that before you get into me, you ought to know what you're getting into. Now, that's a difficult recruitment speech for those of you who might have ever worked in an area where you were designated to recruit, or maybe you've been recruited. Most people who come to recruit you only tell you the wonderful stuff. There's a movie, I can't remember exactly which movie I was watching, but there's a line in the movie where this guy is getting a job, and the first thing he asks is, how much vacation time I get? I'm glad you laughed, because that's kind of how people come into the body of Christ. We have no sooner arrived than we want to know how much time we get off. We haven't done anything. We haven't even finished filling out our documents with the HR representative, and we're interested in how easy or how to relax, how much time do I get to power down. And Jesus says, I'm not going to even go to none of that. What Jesus says to this people is, before you come into me, you need to know what you're getting into. I think I hear Paul kind of giving some insight to that as we're again celebrating continuously now into the third week of the year. Paul is saying to them, there's some stuff we can do here, man. There's an opportunity to do great works. But he also says, in the same breath, punctuality considered, but there are folk who don't want this. There are folk who don't want to go where we're going, and we're going to have to learn how to deal with that. I want to tell you something now, and it's not a biblical principle, but it is widely accepted, that no good deed goes unpunished. I had to think about that, Melvin. I had to think about what that means. And if there's any place I have discovered that, it's in the body of Christ. Listen, there are things that happen to hinder ministry that never happens in the world. The military, you can stand up in front of soldiers, and by virtue of the fact that you're on the platform and you've got the mic, folk will just do what you say. There's a great work. There's an opportunity. And Paul is saying to all of those who are listening to him that it's not just me that can experience this, but all of us can. And I want to encourage you to know, beloved of God, that all of you have potential within. Your best you has not shown up yet. It can get greater. I caught three amens. I know who their voices were. I would that everybody hear me now. God has never cheated one of you. God has never slighted you in favor of someone else. I want you to know that in light of the fact that you are still living and breathing and still have some reasonable health and strength, that God still wants to use you. God still has an assignment in Bedford, Campbell, Lynchburg, Amherst, Appomattox. Anywhere the Lord blesses you to be, he can bless you while you're there. The Bible says wherever you put your feet, it's new territory for blessing. There is a great work in this doorway if you go through it. When I was a younger fellow, I had people around me that encouraged me. I was having this conversation with a preacher friend of mine just a couple of days ago, and we were reflecting on how we grew up. And we were talking about the differences in how young folk grow up now and how we grew up then. Man, listen, we had them, and this is the language we used to use, Deacon Antrim, them old heads. That's what we used to call them, old heads. Them old heads would say, come here, boy. Let me tell you something. And when they said, let me tell you something, you didn't walk away. You stood there. They used to call it, granddad used to call it holding court. And they told us how to do stuff. We learned how to change oil and how to put spark plugs in. You listen, before you drove granddad's Chevrolet Apache, you had to prove to him you knew how to change a tire. I don't know why tires got flat more often back then. Must have been poor technology or something. Vulcanization or whatever, but you had to show him that you knew how to put gas in the car. I was a trooper. I'll never forget this. I laughed, but I was chagrined at the same time. Got a phone call from the dispatcher, call on the radio from the dispatcher, that there was a woman in distress at the Shell gas station at exit 51. I said, I'm thinking maybe she got robbed, something gone bad. So turn around, I hear it there, and pull up there, and I'm thinking, some chaos should be going on. So there's a car sitting right there, the pumps, and the attendant says, I think that's the lady out there that's waiting on you. So I go out there, I said, ma'am, oh, thank God you're here. I don't know what to do. Tears streaming down her face, looking like she's in distress. Belly wasn't big, so I know she wasn't delivering or nothing like that. I said, well, ma'am, how can I help you? I can't get the gas thing open. I said, excuse me? I don't know how to get no gas. My husband gave me a car, and I'm trying to go to North Carolina, and I need gas, and I don't know how to get the gas. They go, but I just, hey! I said, calm down, dear. I said, if you look down by the seat there, well, matter of fact, ma'am, would you open the door for me? She opened the door. I said, see that little lever right there with the gas pump on it? Pull it. Plink up. I said, yeah, it opened. Oh, thank God, I didn't know what to do. I never drove this car before. I started to say, where's your husband? So I can go beat him badly about the head and shoulders. She's driving a car and don't even know how to open the gas receptacle. She never drove it before. He gave it to her and told her, go on down there and see your mom and them. I think what he was saying, I ain't going, you go ahead. She didn't know how to put. Listen, when we were young, you had to prove you knew how to do simple stuff. That was simple, y'all. I ain't trying to start no trouble. And I'm not just picking that she's a woman, just have to be a woman that day. Probably some guys don't know how to do it either. But my point is, you had to learn stuff. You had to prove you knew how to do stuff. Therefore, it expanded your horizons of possibilities. Had to learn how to drive a stick, That meant a whole lot. How many of y'all know how to drive one on the tree? Some of y'all don't even know what on the tree mean. Dean Davis know what on the tree mean. It's on the column. Everybody who know how to drive one on the tree know reverse, first, second, and third. We ain't have no 5-6 speed. But when you hit third, you humming. How many of y'all remember the 2-speed Power Glide? That Chevrolet right there, that's getting down the road. That 2-speed Power Glide was some kind of something right there. Had 2 gears, fast and faster. But my point is,
In the body of Christ, we come in with ignorance and we want to reside in ignorance. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when all of us come into the body of Christ, we don't know nothing about this. We come in ignorance. But we want to stay. Because how do you know we want to stay, Pastor? Because we won't walk through the door of opportunity. We don't want to engage. We don't want to learn. Listen, Reverend, get us a good choir. Get us some friendly ushers. Preach a little bit, rap back, and let us go home. But don't teach me how to operate in the body of Christ. Don't tell me about the rigors and requirements of good relationship. Paul says, man, we can do something if we go through the door fully aware that everybody ain't with us. And there it is now, as I told you, the pre-coming attraction, the press. Paul engages further in the press. Paul says things that I think the church ought to not just listen to, but hear. Paul says, listen, there is more than just casual relationship afforded to us in Christ Jesus. Casual relationship, those are the people who ate his food, ate his bread, drank his water, drank his wine, and said, see ya. Jesus knew them kind. He said, oh, I know what you're all about. The fish and the loaves. That's casual. Because we see that in the church in 2015, 2016, and years behind us, folk will come to eat. They'll come to the concert and the cantata, but they won't come to Bible study. They won't come to a ministry planning meeting. They won't come to effective forward thinking in the church, but they'll come if y'all feed and have the nerve to feed but won't fellowship. What do you mean? Can I have a tray to go? No, you can't have no tray to go. And then we are unreasonable because we would demand your fellowship. At least sit with us a while and act like you appreciate what we're doing. Even when we did the food ministry, folks still refuse our fellowship. Pick up their boxes and walk out the door. And say, listen, when you come worship with us tomorrow, I ain't got time for that. You come to the church but don't want to be churched. There's a door of opportunity, but we've got to learn to deal with opposition. Everybody ain't for it. But Paul says that's not a reason to stop doing what God has called us to do. Ain't no whole lot of folks smiling at me, Reverend. Opposition is a reality. Can I tell you how I know? There were two football games on yesterday. One game consisted of participation from the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. The other game required participation of the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. Now, what good would those games have been without opposition? Each one of those teams had opportunity but had to deal with opposition. The only way you go forward is to beat opposition. Oh, y'all don't see the simple fact of the matter. No, they wasn't going to go, well, we're going to let you score. Oh, no, we'll let you score. No, y'all go and kick a field goal. No, we'll kick a field goal. Do the onside kick thing and we'll let y'all get in. Y'all do it later. No! As much as I despise Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they won. What am I to say? They proved themselves the better team on that day. And if Andy Reid knew clock management, they could have won. You had a ball going. Okay, let me just. You have to understand that it's opposition that makes you move to the next level. How many of you would want somebody to just lay down and let you win? No. That's called fraud. That's called shenanigans. Nobody wants to let you win, and you don't want them to let you win. Paul said, listen, we have to realize that we got to press toward this thing called the mark of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. He says to them, we got to get through this in order to get to the next level of what God has for us. That's why he said, listen, there's a door of opportunity. In the King James Version, it calls it an effectual door. In other words, he says, this thing will work if you go through it. Y'all missed that. Too many of you are standing in the threshold, are standing just outside in the foyer, and you're wondering why you don't feel fulfilled, and you don't feel like you're a part of anything, you don't feel like anything is happening in your ministry. It's because you're not walking through the door. You can't just keep sticking your head in there and see what's going on. You can't play hokey pokey with ministry. What's hokey pokey? You can't put your left foot in and take your left foot out. You can't put your tithe in and want to take your tithe out. You can't put your energy in and want to take your energy out. You got to go through. It's either, as Grandma said, you either in or you out. But make up your mind. Says we got to press. Now, press is a good word. Paul says that I've decided what I'm going to do. The question this hour is, have you decided what you're going to do? Press is the word that brings possibility into actuality. Can I work a little bit here? I see what time it is. Press is a good word because if you don't put your best foot forward, you're going to trip and fall. That was an easy one. How many of you ever been walking and tripped over yourself? It's more y'all than that. How many of you all have ever failed going up the stairs? See? And you say to yourself, what? How many ever failed and laughed at yourself? Before anybody said, now you, how many ever failed, looked around to see who saw you fall, and still laughed at yourself? And what do? Whenever we do that, we always look for something that was a participating or a factor in us falling. Because we say to ourselves, ain't no way I'm too stupid to walk without tripping. So we always. And then when we find nothing, we laugh even harder. We say something like, what is going on there? And for the rest of our day, we tell people, child, I failed going forward. And here's the reality. The press is what makes it become real. The true sense of accomplishment always starts with possibility. But the reality of making it happen always advises ourselves of the opposition. Listen, you must realize the cost of true discipleship. You are not paying anything by putting your warm buns on the pew. You're not paying anything because you clap your hands. You're not paying anything because you sing, join a choir, join an usherman. That don't cost you nothing. Oh, I hear you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Some of y'all are trying to get deep with me. Talking, it ain't my time. It ain't your time. You don't even control time. You didn't hear what Job said? Job found out, I don't know how I got here. I don't know who chose me to be here, but I'm here. You have no control over time. All you can control, watch me now, are choices. And so Paul says, here's what I've decided to do. I'm gonna stay here because there's an opportunity. Let me talk to you now. I told you there's some presses. Press faithfully, press forward, press fearlessly, and press forever. I'll get to them now. Here it is. The first thing he reminds him of, if you look at Timothy, you don't have to turn to it. I'll give you the illustration. He says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Luther, he says, boy, cling to your faith in Christ. And keep your conscience clear. Y'all missed it. You know what he's saying? Don't get distracted by the unnecessary. Don't worry about whether they paint the church. Don't worry about the parking lot. Don't worry about the roof. Don't worry about the size of the fellowship. Don't worry about who else is there. He says, what you got to do is press faithfully by clinging to your faith. Can I tell you something that I've discovered? You can't hold on to something you ain't got. You can't hold on to your faith if you ain't got faith. You can't live off your mama faith. You can't live off your sister faith or your uncle faith or your daddy faith. You know, you got some fine daughters, Dawson and Davis girls now, but they can't get by on your faith. If they don't keep their conscience clear and keep their eyes on Jesus, you can't save them. You got a nice sister down in that pew right yonder, but she can't live off your faith. You can't wish it well. You know, we went through with old Jesse May over yonder. We couldn't make her better. Only God could do it. But we had to believe in the God that could do it. But until she believed in the God that we believed in to do it, it wasn't going to get done. And unless you keep your focus, you can't go forward. And I use my illustration, Sister Anderson, as a setup to make this point. Even sometime when you're going forward and focusing, you'll trip over the unknown. Anybody ever had a mystery setback? You don't know what the heck went wrong. You did everything right. You were in the right place with the right mind. You had dug in. You made up your mind. And he says that I have to stay focused and keep your conscience clear. That's how you press faithfully. What is he saying? He said, listen, if you don't do nothing wrong, you ain't got nothing to apologize for. If you didn't cheat God, you ain't got to worry about what people say about your relationship with God. If you know that you did the best you could do, if you know you kept your hands to the plow, if you know you came, if you know you stood, if you know you fought, if you know you were faithful, then don't worry about what people say in opposition. How many have been told you're trying to be too good? You too holy. You ever heard that expression? You too holy. Listen, honey, don't get distracted. Keep on going to church. You go to church too much. How many ever heard that one? You go to church too much. You give the church too much. You do anything that old preacher said. Keep your conscience clear. Because I set my attention to God and I won't be distracted. He said, Timothy, let me tell you something. If you're going to be a true disciple, keep your eyes on Christ. And there's some things you're going to lose when you press faithfully. Can I give you a couple of illustrations? First thing you better get ready to lose are some friends. You're going to lose some friends when you press faithfully. When you press phony, you'll gain some friends. When you press faithfully, friends will turn on you. Come here, Jesus. Jesus is standing there with the disciples and the so-called disciples, and Jesus calls for a higher level of pressing when he said, eat of my flesh and drink my blood. And Jesus turned around and said, where they went? What happened to my whoop dead ears crowd? You're going to lose some friends. You're going to also lose some fortune. Oh, yeah. Not because the church going to take it. But you're going to lose fortune in the fact of worldly treasures. Yeah. And anybody in the body of Christ who's really been hooked up, tied up, wrapped up, tangled up, all that kind of stuff, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not talking necessarily about 20s and 50s. But I'm telling you, you're going to lose some. You're going to have to leave some, in fact. Because where your heart is has a whole lot to do with your treasure. The OJs was right. They were right. Yeah, Jess, I won't sing it yet. But you know it's got to do with some M-O-N-E-Y. The reality for us is you're going to lose some fellowships. Even in the body of Christ, there are divisions here among us. This fellowship is not united. And it is because some of y'all are pressing faithfully and some of y'all are pressing a fraud. And all it's going to take is one more test before two more folk walk out the fellowship. All it's going to take is one more pastoral push. And some folk going to say, that's why I stopped going. The disciples saw it. They looked at Jesus and said, this is a hard thing. We can't get down like that. How many of y'all ever had folk tell you something like that? Because you're faithful. You're in it. And then you're going to lose some fame. You're not going to be as popular anymore. You're not going to be the one no more. You're not going to get invited to the shindigs you used to. You're not going to get them special invitations to the blowout parties. You're not going to get invited to the all-white party next year. You're not going to be the freshest flavor of Kool-Aid anymore. You're going to lose some fame. Jesus makes it clear that I didn't come here to be famous. I came here to be faithful. It happens in churches. I've had it happen here, Deacon Davis. We've had folk leave because I won't let them preach. They're trying to make a name for themselves. If you really want to make a name for the Lord, be faithful. Because what God has for you, ain't nobody going to be able to stop it. But you're trying to make a name. You're trying to get famous among people and cannot be found faithful among gods. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you'll lose your family. Jesus said that, and it was a hard saying. And Reverend Murrell, when I read that years ago, I did not quite undertake it. When he said that I've come here to set a mother against a daughter and a father. He said, I came to do it. Why? Because I realized that when people press in me, other folk ain't going to get it. That's why when they came to him and said, Lord, we will go with you. How the ever. Says God, I know that's not a real one. How the ever, I must needs be taking leave for a moment that I go and take care of some business. I got to go back and bury my father. I got to go back and try a field. I just promised a man I was going to check out a Georgia mule and I need to go try. And Jesus said, I tell you what, let the dead bury the dead. What he's saying is, if you're really coming with me, it's somebody else to take care of that. How many of you know that you're not the only one can do that? Oh, three of y'all. Okay, thank you. But Jesus says, even family. But whatever you do, you cannot lose your faith. Lose the fame. Lose the fortune. Listen, there's some things you've been wanting to get out of anyway. Am I right about it? Come on, how many of y'all are stuck in stuff that you wish you didn't have the office or you wish you didn't have the responsibility? And you, listen, if your heart would just let you write, I resign, you'd have wrote it a long time ago. But the Lord says, whatever you give up, don't lose your faith. Can I throw one more at him, Aaron? You can't lose what you ain't never had. So get you some faith. 2016, you making resolutions, new constitution, and amendments. Make you an amendment constitution that says, I'm going to get some faith. You need faith. But without faith, it is impossible. Reverend Muriel, the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, well, Reverend, some folk don't care about pleasing God. But he just said that's another sermon, so I'll save it for that. The second thing is you got to learn how to press, focus, and forward. Jess, Mary J. Blige has a line in the song, said, I had to take it there. And I'm afraid in the third week of January, I got to take it there. I didn't want to go here, but I got to go here. Because some of us are stuck. We're 3 weeks into a new year, and some of us are stuck. The tragedy, Melvin, we're not stuck in 2015. We're not stuck in 2012. We're stuck in 1996. What happened in 96? That boy showed up at our church and changed us. Ever since he'd been there, Brookville ain't been the same. We stuck. That's why we won't buy into the vision plan, Brother Beverly. That's why we won't put money toward the vision. That's why we don't believe we ought to move. That's why we don't believe we ought to invite other folk. That's why we don't want to do evangelism, because we just want our good old house to stay like our good old house. It ain't your house. It's God's house. And God said, move my church forward. No, notice I didn't get but three. Because we stuck. We're not saying it's good for us to be here. We're saying we'd rather be back there. Come on now. He said, man, you got to go forward. He said, listen, I left Macedonia. I'm on my way to Ephesus. I'll stay here. I'll get myself together. But just can I say it like I want to? He said, I got to keep it moving. Our ministries will never become ministries of magnificence if we don't keep it moving. Sometimes I feel like a traffic cop standing in the intersection with a whistle and doing like this. And nobody's moving. And yet folk back there blowing the horn talking about why we ain't moving. Because whoever in front of you ain't moving. And when folk in front of you ain't moving, go around them. Let me tell you what I do. Can I teach y'all a driving trick? I'm just about finished. Let me teach you a driving trick. Whenever I pull up to a traffic light, I never get so close to the car in front of me that I can't get out without having to back up. In other words, I never get so close that the guy behind me can get so close that he stops me from getting out if I want to get out. I always leave myself enough room that if this bucket head don't move, I ain't got to go, honk. No, all I got to do is whip it to the whip it to the left or right, and I'm gone. Because I want to keep it moving. There is a great door. There's a great opportunity. And you can't get stuck behind stuck people who keep complaining about being stuck and don't want to get unstuck because they're stuck because they want to be stuck. For God's sake, it's 2016. The Lord himself said this, how long am I going to have to put up with y'all being stuck? He said, didn't I tell you? Not your name and say, yeah, I think you did. He said, you got to press forward. I had to take it there because I'm tired. Yes. Mary J., you're right, baby. You can't stay here like this. God has poured too much out for us not to go forward. He didn't die for us to get stuck. He died so we could keep it moving. Didn't he tell a disciple that Remuriel? He stood there. He said, all right, fellas, I'm out. But keep this thing going. How? By doing greater works. That's that effective door. Ask yourself this question. When the last time you did anything that'll get God some glory? That's just my question. He said, you got to do. He said, listen. There ought to be something, watch this, of significance because we stayed. Three categories of staying that are critical to the discipleship development of our church is that you stay focused. Thank you. The baby's crying is timely because there's some of us who are so easily distracted. Soon as the baby stopped crying, half of y'all eyes went that way. I'm still right here, man. I'm sweating. I'm about to pass out. I need to cough, but I'm trying to get through it. And all it takes is something simple that happens all the time, and everybody stay focused. And then the second thing, Harmony, is you got to stay firm. Don't let nobody turn you around. Don't let nobody change your mind. Listen, you promised him that I would serve. You got to stay firm. You can't waffle. You can't waver. You can't whiff. You got to stay firm. You were right to clap. That's a good one. Go ahead and do it anyhow. Yeah. Thank you. Too many of y'all ain't firm. Amen. All it's going to take is one of your friends to come go, but what you going to do? I think Pastor being too hard. I think Pastor want too much. I mean, come on, think about it. Girl, we got other things we got to do. I'm planning my daughter's wedding. My son got to go back to school. Me and my husband were talking about buying a car. I can't get in no ministry vision plan. I can't be putting all my money in church. I can't be up there every Thursday. I got other stuff I got to do. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then next thing you know, yeah, you're right. You make a good point. They taught you 5 minutes. I've been preaching 18 years, and they convinced you that quick. You ain't firm. Some of y'all worse than Play-Doh. All it takes is another hand to squeeze you and you reshape it. Then he said, the other thing is that you got to remain faithful. You can't go forward if you ain't faithful. Can I preach just a little bit? I'll stop. There are some places, Vicky, that you're going to only discover through the press. There are places and things that God's trying to show you that the only way, Larry, you're going to see it is through the press. The only way, well, listen to what Paul said. Paul says, I am convinced, stay with me, Vicky, this is a good one. He said, I am convinced that the press is a prelude to my prized possibilities, and problematic conditions don't cancel out profound promises by my prophetic provider. What Paul is saying is, I don't care what y'all do, you can't outdo God. It doesn't matter who's against me. He said, listen, if God be for us, problematic things do not cancel prophetic promises. There is no way it can happen. I have profound possibility. I have asked God for this. I've asked God. And God said, it is in accordance with my will, you ask a good thing. Remember when Elisha was standing there with Elijah, and Elijah said, I'm getting ready to head up now. He said, listen, you got a shot at me. Come on. And he said, listen, all I want is a double portion. He said, man, you're asking for a hard thing. You know why he said it? It's not that he would not desire that Elisha have it. He just didn't know how to give it to him. Y'all missed that. I feel that way about it. So it's not that I don't want you to have it. I just don't know if I can give it to you, but I know who can. And so Elisha said, watch this. He said, if the Lord's will that what you've asked be so, wait right here. I told you, got to stand. You got to stay. You got to be strong. He said, listen, it is imperative that you realize that no matter what we are up against 3 weeks into the year, it does not cancel out the profound promises of the prophetic provider. God has always came in storms. God has always been in valleys. God has always walked through cemeteries. God has always been in hospitals. God has always been in the nursing home. But what he's saying is, don't let what you're up against turn you against me. I still got this. I know what the doctor said before he said it. I know how much it cost before you got the bill. But I'm still greater. Yeah. I'm still God. Then he said this, you got to press forward with focus. But he reminded the church, he said, listen, there's a thing called perfection that only comes in the press. I'm just about there. He said, listen, perfection and procrastination are not related to each other. Because the press requires that you stop making excuses and start looking for the opportunity. Listen, here we are. We can't keep saying, let's pray about it, and only six people show up to pray. We don't have prayer meetings when everybody ain't praying to meet or meeting to pray. Y'all missed that. Let me explain. Until you ask God to give you the wherewithal and the opportunity to be at the prayer meeting, that's meeting to pray and praying to me. You understand what I'm saying? You can't have a house praying when ain't nobody in the house. He said, you can't keep disguising, watch this, your own detriment. Somewhere along the line, a whole lot of us are going to have to admit we did this to ourselves. We put ourselves in this mess. The door was open. Anybody could have come in. He didn't say this. You know that there are doors that are designated, but this door is not designated. I'm coming. He said, listen, you can come through here. He said, I saw it. He said, all I'm telling you is, in as much as I trust God to go through it, I don't want to go by myself. Pouting because you're under pressure don't relieve the pressure. We got too many pouting folk. You got to understand, and watch this, Deacon Davis, I'm going to really get in trouble. I know what time it is. Y'all got to go. You can't play dead on Sunday and live thriving and vibrant lives Monday through Saturday. You can't do all that stuff you do all week long, and then on Sunday you dead. I'm tired. I can't make it. You live full tilt Monday through Saturday. You go here, there, everywhere. You just like the Dr. Seuss book, go, dog, go. But then on Sunday you dead. You come to church to go to sleep. You tired, and you when you're here, you're worried about leaving. You don't get to your job like that. You don't go on vacation like that. You don't get on the airplane like that. You can't play dead on Sunday and live off the hizzy Monday through Saturday. You can't do that. That's not pressing forward. You can't pick and choose, and the Lord always lose. Because you are not the greatest thing. Come on, stay with me. You can't pick and choose, and he always lose. And then call him God, Lord, Savior, Master. Perfection ain't what a whole lot of us been doing. Because the only way we get to perfection is through the press. And then you got to press fearlessly. The Hebrew letter says this: we have confidence that God is our helper. And then he said this, Vicky, you know it because you're a good preacher. He says, so we will have no fear. Because what can mere men do to us? Look at your name, tell them, I ain't scared of you. See, some of y'all been wanting to say that. Some of y'all might need to relocate in the fellowship for a minute. Go and sit by the one you need to tell them. I ain't scared of you. Because, in fact, there is a hedge round about me. In fact, there are wings and feathers and places I can hide. In fact, there are protection that have already been put in place. In fact, yea, though I have walked through valleys and shadows of death, I'm still here. Why? Because there's nothing you can do to me. And even if you do it to me, he can undo it for me. You got to stop being scared of being the only one. You got to stop being scared of separation. You got to get over the anxiety of losing the popularity of folk who can't do nothing but take from you. Please understand, if you do inventory of most of the relationships in your life, it is more taking than giving. Because all of what they take or give fails in comparison to the one gift that is the most important gift. And that is the gift of life. Because when you have life in Christ, he will provide all your needs. I feel like Miss Sophia. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of folk just taking from me. The reality is, I need a relationship that will take away my fear. Remember what happened when Miss Sophia finally got herself together? She said, I got this. I'm back now. And I believe that in 2016, on the third week of the year, some of us need to get some Miss Sophia. I don't know what she was drinking down on that end of the table, but obviously she had something that her and Miss Celia were sharing that nobody else had. They must have went to the woodshed when nobody wasn't looking. Because that day, them two sisters rose up and said, this is the last day that I'll ever live beneath my privilege. This is the last day that I'll sit up under your thumb. This is the last day that you'll keep me from the mailbox. This is the last day you'll keep me from pressing my hair. This is the last day that I'll sit at this table and let your hard-headed children talk to me some in kind of way. This is the last day. Even Squeak got a little something. She said, my real name is Mary Ellis. She must have went to the woodshed too, because nobody knew that. That's Mary Ellis. Who knows? You got to understand me, love of God, that it's time to get over your fear. So the Hebrew writer says, we must now say with confidence. When I read chapter 16, I heard Paul sounding like a man of confidence. Rev. Muriel, you can tell them in the parking lot because they're ready to go, that there was a time when Paul said, listen, I have no confidence in my flesh. But what I do believe in is this God who saved me. I was on my way to Damascus one day, minding my own business, about to bushwhack the church one more time, and something got a hold of me. I wish I had one witness in here that can look at me and say, Pastor, I was not on the road to Damascus, but one Sunday, maybe one Wednesday at Bible study, Something got a hold of me. Something grabbed me by my britches. Something snatched me up by my collar. Looked at me and said, son or daughter, why kickest thou against the pricks? I am the Lord thy God. I save you. I've got plans for you. Can I get one witness to wave back at me and say, pastor, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that I stopped being scared. I made up my mind that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I made up my mind that if my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will. Anybody know the Lord will? Naked I came into the world and naked I'm going out. But while I'm here, I said, while I'm here, I'm gonna press my way. I'm gonna sing like my grandmom and them old ladies sing, that every round goes just a little bit higher. Can I ask somebody, is there anybody here that's tired of hanging out on the ground level? Is there anybody here tired of sitting in the waiting room? Is there anybody here tired of riding standby? Is there anybody here that wants to take it higher? Is there anybody here wants to press your way? Is there anybody here, or am I by myself, that's ready to go a little higher? Anybody here ready to put your foot on the gas? Anybody ready to pull out in the fast lane? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, listen here, neighbor, I'm tired of mediocrity. I'm tired of just so-so. I've got my mind made up and my heart is fixed that if God be for me, that's more. Look at a neighbor and slap them high five and tell them I'm going after more. More ministry, more money, more power, more prestige, more glory, more gifts, more, more, more. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, more, more, more. Tell me how you like it. More, more, more. How you like me now? Ain't God all right? When Jesus died, he didn't die to give us less. He died to give us more. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get some of that. More way, more truth, more life. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Say yeah. Say thank you. Say God be glorified. I've made up my mind that no matter what happens, you won't find me here. This time next year, I'm gonna press my way. I'm going a little further. I'm going a little faster. I'm going with more faith. I'm going with more power. Say glory. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. And the last thing, I've taken up too much of your time. But last thing I promised, I was gonna tell you, you gotta press forever. We've come too far, yes, sir, to turn back now. Looking back is a distraction to your now. You've come too far. The Lord said, I'm going to teach you a little something. You can stand on your feet. We're going to go. I'm sorry. He said, I'm going to teach y'all a little something. I'm going to teach you to pray like this. And there's a line in the prayer where he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he throws in that half one and said, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Not just Sunday, not just Monday, not just this week, not just 6 months, not just 1 year, not just a few years, not just a decade, not just a millennium, but thine is the kingdom and the power forever. Forever. And that's how long we're going to be pressing. Forever. We are not pressing part-time. How many of you ever read one of those job applications that said full-time? Part-time need not apply.
Yes.
Only if you're going to work for us 40 full, with some overtime. He said, listen, for yours is the kingdom. The power and, listen, that's all you need. If there's anything you need in 2016, can I tell you what they are? You need kingdom. You need power. And him get the glory. Stay with me. You don't need mega millions. You don't need Powerball. You need kingdom, power, and let he get the glory. Let me tell you why kingdom is important. Because however the king eat, that's how you eat. However the king sleep, that's how you sleep. However the king go, that's how you go. That's all you need is kingdom. And power is the ability to perform as prophecy has declared. I know what you can do. The Lord says, you are the head and not the tail. Look at your neighbor and say, we've been to reverse the roles now. He said, you are the lender and not the borrower. We got to turn this thing. We going, as young folk would say, I got some young folk today, we going to flip the script. The way you see me now, you'll never see me again. You will never see me living beneath my privilege because there's an open door. And I have determined in myself that what God has for me, I shall do all I can to lay claim. There may be problematic conditions.
Yes.
I can press in the snow. I can press in the rain. I've been cold before. I've been hungry. But at the end of the day, I kind of got satisfied.
Yes, sir.
I know what it is to be with and to be without. But I've never been without him. For my God is a very present help. In the midst of all of it, the Lord is my shepherd. If you're here today, God bless you. I know that there are some well-intended persons within our ministry and within our community. But let me tell you something today. The power to be is in the power of he. You've got to give your life to Christ. You've got to come to Jesus. And I'm convinced of God today, Luther Palmer, that the mere fact that you are in a Christian church may well say something about you being interested in the Christ. You're not in the synagogue today. You're not in a temple. You're not down the road in somebody's shout house. You're in a God house. It would suggest to me that you have some interest in the Christ. And if you're here today, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to come now. And let us teach you Christianity. Already this year, we started new discipleship training. And folk don't want to seem to take an interest, but we're not going to stop teaching. We're not going to stop offering because that door is open. It's open. And we're opening the door again today to say to you, come to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Don't come first to Brookville because Brookville can't save you. But if you come to Jesus, Jesus saves. And again, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't sit there. Don't stand there, rather, and say to yourself, well, I got to check out a few more churches. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ, then check out what church you want to be in.
Yes.
But be saved. And don't get saved today and go home this afternoon and forget you made a vow to God. Don't let next Sunday morning come around and say, I don't know, I'm going to sit here and watch the game come on. I don't want to miss the kickoff. How about he kick you off? Bet you don't want to miss that either. Give your life to Christ. I realize today that there are many choices, many options. We keep redefining people. You know, we're talking about now the millennials. A little while ago, the baby boomers. Before that, it was the Bobby Soxers. You know, every little group. We're trying to define it. Listen, Jesus is the same. We done rocked around the clock. We done dropped it like it's hot. We done whipped it and nay-nayed it. But Jesus is still the same. Amen.
Give your life to Christ and you'll find your life. If you're here today, God bless you today. I thank you for your time. But I'm just trying to tell you, there are possibilities that only are going to be revealed through the press. It ain't easy. If it were really that easy, why doesn't everybody take it up? It requires a press. Jesus said that. He said, listen, man, everybody ain't going to get this. I don't want anybody not to get it, but everybody ain't going to get it. He said, but you are different. You stay. So if you're here, you've not accepted Jesus Christ, do it today. Second thing I want to say to you is be reconciled to the Lord. And do this every day. Every night, part of my closing prayer is, God, I'm sorry. If I've done anything, and some nights, I don't even have to say if. I just say, Lord, you know. I didn't do good with that one today. But Lord, if you'll just keep me, because I do want to be kept. And Father, I ask for your forgiveness and the forgiveness of my fellow man. I pray the prayer of forgiveness in totality, because sometimes we harm folk that we don't even know we harm. Sometimes we give people a look that they don't really understand. We call it throwing shade now, but you know, whatever that means. But Lord, if I've offended my brother unintentionally, Lord, please touch his heart tonight on my behalf and say to him, he didn't mean that. And do what the Bible said, do go to your brother or your sister and solve that thing. Don't sleep with your chest all tight. I don't know. That's all right. That's it. No, it ain't all right. Pick up the phone. Go by the house and listen. Something happened today. I just want clarity. And if they don't receive you well, the Bible says you've done what you're supposed to do. But God, be reconciled. And then lastly, again, our doors are open. We desire to be a disciple-making church. And it takes disciples to make the church. So if you're looking for a church where we can train you and we can hold you accountable, we can put you in the press, our doors are open to you today. I don't know how many churches you've tried. I don't know how many churches you've joined. I don't know how many places you've been. But I know where you are right now. And if, in fact, and because it is a fact, all we have is now, would you decide today that Brookville is a good place for my now, that I might move now, God, faithfully to my next? I believe God is doing a great thing here. It's going to take getting through the press. We're going to lose some more family and some more friends. But we have to make up our mind, especially as leaders, that we are not going to turn back no matter what. Let folks say what they say. Let them do what they're going to do. As for me, first,
yes, sir,
I'm going to serve the Lord. I get my household, that's a bonus. But I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. We'll get through the financial difficulties, saints. We'll get through all of the other river ravel and shenanigans if we keep our eyes on Jesus. And Sister Linda, I encourage you today, take that same spirit with you to New York. You may be in a new city, but you got the same God. Find you a church immediately. Before you ask them where the CVS or the nearest Walmart, ask them, where's a good church? Because I need to be in the Lord's house. Because I'm the Lord's servant. And go up there and tell them it's a bad preacher down there on this. Amen. Let's come together and grab your neighbors, grab your friends. It's late in the evening, it's afternoon rather. We're going to pray our way out today. I thank you, but I'm really trying to help you. I can't microwave what I'm trying to do. I gotta get it out there. You gotta press. And some of us haven't been taught how to press. Some of us have always had somebody that will finish it for us. And somebody always had somebody who come in and excuse you and say, well, you did the best you could. That's enough. Don't worry about it. This ain't gonna work like that. It's not gonna work like that. Nobody's gonna finish this but you. Nobody can go forward in your shoes but you. And I hear God calling us to press faithfully. When the writer says that his mother and father would forsake him, that the Lord would take him up, he knew that no matter what happens, I'm really going to be all right. Because in fact, spiritually, in biblical sense of sound theology, you are much less the child of your mom and daddy than you are the child of God. God made you. You really belong to him. Your parents were on a stewardship assignment that they didn't even sign up for. But you're here, but you are the child of God. And so it is. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that faithfulness will be rewarded. And it doesn't mean God got to give you a house or a car or anything like that. What he's already given you is laid up for you. Therefore, laid up for me is that crown of righteousness, that crown of glory that shall be revealed. I'm going to be with the Lord. That old song Vicky, they used to sing back home. I believe the lady's name was Sister Moore. I can't remember her first name. But she used to sing, "Won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand?" And boy, that sister would walk across that church just with that little dip in it. She would set her cane down. And she had that good church sister walk with that "Won't it be grand?" And she would, and before you know it, everybody else on their feet. On their feet. And because we going home to live with Jesus, won't it be grand? And you know when it get good, folks start adding verses. And boy, listen, before you know it, everybody walking. And we were home one Sunday. We laughed so hard. I'll tell you this, we're going to go. My cousin Stanley was sitting back there, you know. And we got home one particular Sunday afternoon. And he was standing out there talking about, "Boney B. Brand, Boney B. Brand." So, what are you, that's what they were singing. "Boney B. Brand, Boney B. Brand." What them sisters that even make "Boney B. Brand"? He didn't get. Man, he was young. Man, we laughed so hard about it. We said, "Go tell grandma. Let grandma hear you sing it." And he went up there, "Boney B. Brand, Boney B. Brand, Boney." She said, "Oh, baby, bless your heart." She said, "What y'all laughing at him for? At least he remembered it." I said, "Grandma, how many remember when you were young and can get away with singing it wrong? Now that y'all old, you're still singing it wrong.
Amen.
But won't it be grand?" That's what's laid up for the child of God. So God bless you today. Deacon Campbell has been reported upon. He's doing well. Again, Sister Ozilia's granddaughter has received some follow-up information, and it is going to be tough. And so we will pray for her continually. Or for those, Sister Royal, Sister Lawhorn, Deacon Clark has been relocated, but that's our brother. Amen. And Sister Darlene gave me some news about her grandmother today. And so we're going to keep praying. Deacon Antrim is having some problems with his ankle. And Sister Yvette, quit kicking him in it. He'll be all right. But we're praying for him. But he's going to get better. And Grandma said, "Leave that boy alone." But we're praying for him that he get his strength. And certainly for all of you, for your son and daughter. Sean's going back to school. Said he's going back today, and he said they're going to take him out and feed him real good first. Say he ain't going to no Chick-fil-A either. So we bid you well. Thank you for coming, young man. We appreciate your presence today. And to all of our disciples, Mrs. Dawson, God bless you. We're just so honored to see you growing in the Lord like you are, and for the families of our disciples. This is so beautiful, but it can be, so Scott, don't pass out. But we can make it more beautiful-er when we all get together. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. If you just secure your household, you know, it was good to see your grandchildren with you today. If you just secure, these babies should not be left to chance. Don't ask them, say, "Listen, Grandma, Nana," whatever y'all call yourself around here, Nana and Lulu and Mary Beth. I'm from the South. It's just grandmama and granddaddy. But whatever your name is, tell them you come to pick them up. If their mom and daddy ain't got no sense, you have better sense than mom and daddy. Say, "Just have them babies ready." I just have them ready. If you have to stop the Walmart on your way to put them on a pair of shoes and breeches, do what you got to do. But don't let your children fall in the hands of the devil early. Put a hedge round about them babies. secure your families. Fight for what you believe. And I believe Jesus. We talked about that today in John 14. If you learn verse 12, you get the entitlements of 13 and 14. But read it today when you get home if you weren't in the academy. He said, listen, the truth is simply this. If you believe in me, fight for what you believe. Y'all know how I am. I fight for what I believe. I went to the dry cleaner the other day, driving my Tom Landry truck, related to my, oh, you still like the Cowboys? I said, let me tell you something. Just give me my clothes, take my money, and let me go. Because that $2.20 cleaner down the street right there, she said, oh, I just play. Don't play with me. It still hurts that we're not in the playoffs. I fight for what I believe. I don't let people talk about Tiger Woods either. I still believe old Tiger gonna get it together. Amen. Jennifer, don't let me demote you from queen to princess. Amen. The hand you're holding is special. It is indeed your brother, your sister. It is another child of God. They did not come here by accident. They too are on assignment. And what better ministry as we prepare to go home than to again unite ourselves in our assignments. There's a song we sing around here that simply says, I prayed for you, you prayed for me. We're all, you know, y'all know that song. Well, that's what we're doing here and now. Again, for those who have been in the hospital, nursing home, those of us who stood by our bedsides of our loved ones, we know what it means to pray. And I thank you for your prayers for my sons and my daughters, my mom, my dad, my family. We do the same for you. As it goes for me, I pray that it would also go for you. And I don't mean in just the fairest of weather. I pray that even when your storms come, as mine have come, that you will navigate them as I did. I came through the fire. I've been through the rain. I've had heartaches and I've had pain. But look what God has done. He gave me back my joy. I've cried. I've wallowed. I felt sorry for myself. But look what God has done. And so I would that when your storms come, you come out like me. I would that when you are standing in the place of uncertainty, that you will hear his voice. And can I tell you what he's going to say? I am. God doesn't always tell you how he's going to do it. He doesn't tell you how it's going to end. He just simply says, I am. Sometimes, much like Job, you don't even know if he's really there. But when he shows up, he said, I never left. I was always here. Sometimes the bills, the debt, the fear, the uncertainty clouds our eyes. We get cataracts of concern, but he's there. Sometimes you got to feel for that place, but he's there. And so I encourage you today to know that the Lord is there. Father, in the name of Jesus, for our mothers and our fathers, our sons and our daughters, for the stranger, for the newfound friend, thy will be done. There are so many concerns being offered up even in this place, on the balconies of our minds and in the basements of our storied situations. We are not telling everybody, but we can tell you. God, we've carried so much baggage that we had to pay extra fees just to get through. We've harbored so many frustrations and disappointments and anger that we lost sleep that we needed so much. We stopped speaking and they stopped speaking. They stopped calling and we stopped calling. And all we really wanted to say was, I love you. All we wanted to say was, I'm sorry. And we were so afraid that they would not receive us, or we were so afraid of rejection again, that we just went into a place of solitude. We cannot walk alone. We cannot do this by ourselves. I am my brother's keeper. So, Father, today heal relationships. Lord knows I miss my friends. I miss the companionship of a wife or a husband. I really need to talk to my mom or my dad. And I need to do it, Lord, before I'm knocking over flowers and refusing to leave a cemetery. God, while I'm still here and they can hear my voice and feel my hand and touch my heart, let me mend relationships. Because, Lord, what I've come to know today is that I cannot say I love you and hate them. I can't say I'm walking with you and won't walk with them. And I can't go forward if I'm still looking back. Oh God, heal my relationships. Before I ask you for the job or favor in the interview, God, I gotta say I'm sorry. It's not everybody else's fault. I've got some things I need to do. I want you to touch my neighbor. Not because I stood in the place of judgment, but simply because I would that my neighbor be blessed. Oh God, go into their house like you came into mine, for their sons and their daughters like you did for my son and my daughter, for their husband, for their wife. God, that you bring families together. And then, God, we pray for this nation of ours, for our president and all of the senators and congressmen and governors and lieutenant governors and councilmen and mayors and city managers all the way down the line to the guy that rides on the back of that trash collection truck. Bless our country. Bless this world. Thank you, God, that the Iranians let those sailors go home. Thank you, God, that families are being reconciled with their loved ones. Thank you, Lord, that we do have a government that allows us to come and go pretty much as we please. But Lord, we thank you for law and order. We thank you, Father, for peace. Thank you, Lord, now that these young people are returning to school. Give them traveling mercies. Their families that drop them off, leave their tears of concern and leave their well wishes and bring us together again safely. Some of us have to say goodbye for the final time. We pray for the family of one of our finest preachers in the area, the Reverend Lorenzo Odie. Oh God, put your arms around that family. What a great man of God. For we pray, Lord, that you will give them strength. And all those, Lord, who shall come in and go out to wish them well and to speak of memories of the old, let them do it in such a way that it honors his name. He was a good man. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And while we're waiting, let us wait with encouraging hope that the Lord will be here soon. Thank you, Lord, for every child in this room today. Thank you for the efforts of our Relay for Life partners. Thank you, Lord, for the free tax preparations that are being offered. Thank you for those who gave today, those who rendered the tithe, and for even those who thought to themselves, I have got to do better, but we're not prepared to do so today. Allow them to live long enough to keep their vow that on the next opportunity, I shall do greater. Bless, Lord, the team in Guatemala today. Pray, God, that all is going well. You've delivered them safely. Now, Lord, let them minister to the maximum point and bring them home with glory. Oh, God, we pray.